You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Folks, Mother's Day is around the corner, and let me talk to you about 1-800-Flowers. I can't wait. Every year, it's a tradition. I send stuff to my mother, my mother-in-law, and my wife because they are three amazing moms. They're better than all your moms out there. You think you have good moms? No, I have good moms in my life. I'm just kidding. This was a little harsh. I'm sure you guys all have good moms too. From your mom to the mother of your children and all the moms in between, this Mother's Day, give back to the ones that have given you everything. 1-800-Flowers helps you celebrate all amazing moms, from homemade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts, ordered easily and delivered fresh. For a limited time, you can save up to 40% off Mother's Day bestsellers at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan. Don't wait. Order today and save up to 40% at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey, please drink responsibly.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Dan Levitard Show with the Stugatz Podcast. It is time for Stugatz to share his game notes. No one in the media will tell you what happened better than my boy Stu.
Weekend observations brought to you by Miller Lite. Great taste, 96 calories. Thank you, Billy. Available for delivery. I turn the mic on. Anyway, Dan, over the last 3 weeks, he's been in every time zone the United States has to offer. From Miami to Las Vegas, back to Miami, to Chicago, to South Bend, Indiana, back to Chicago, to Boulder, Colorado, and back to Florida. And Dan, just like that, make no mistake about it, I am back until Wednesday afternoon. Headed to Beantown. Big game. BC, Northwestern, game of the year.
Number one team in the country.
You hopping back on a bird for Friday's show because you're on the schedule.
No. Carl has my schedule.
The schedule I got at 9:30 last night says that you're working on Friday.
Speaking of time zones, enough.
Good take.
Thank you.
That's because you had to drive from Chicago to South Bend and back, right?
Oh, we'll get to that. Oh. Since Dan proclaimed the Nets are good, they've been awful. And their coach was fired.
That's right.
Dan, plus Dan praising your team, equals coach killer. A week after Rick Pitino threw his entire team under the bus, then ran them over, reversed over their body, and then ran them over again, they upset number 15, Creighton. That's how you motivate a team, Dano.
Kick their ass.
Yeah. You know what Pitino was doing? He was playing chess while everybody else was playing checkers. I tell Rick Pitino to look in a mirror, but that's a dangerous game for him.
He's a vampire.
Is it dangerous, though, or just they just can't see themselves?
They can't do it. They won't do it. They don't want to do it. They want nothing to do with it.
But it's not actually dangerous. There are no consequences.
No, it's dangerous.
The sunlight.
No, because other people will know that he's a vampire, and then they'll try to put a silver stake through his heart.
I guess
right?
It is dangerous.
Or wooden stake.
Wooden stake, is that
wooden
either
stake.
Works. So you can do a pure wooden, like oak stake, or stainless steel.
Medium rare stake. He's also allegedly a vampire, just to get ahead of that.
Right. Patrick Kane, playing spoiler, on the night the Blackhawks retired Chris Chelios' number 7 jersey. Kaner and Chelly. Hockey has the best nicknames. Cubs to re-sign center fielder Cody Bellinger. Belly. Chelly and Belly. Sounds like a great name for a podcast. Couple of Chicago athletes cutting it up. Metalark, get on that. 80-20 my way. That would be a good pod. I'm telling you right now. Chelly and Belly.
What would they talk about?
I don't know. It's got a good name. 80% of good podcasts is the name.
That's not true.
Not in any way true.
New Heights? Great name.
Great name.
It's not.
It's like they're from New Heights, Dan, but they're also reaching
all the smoke.
New Heights. Yep. You get it?
So why hasn't MMA Hangout worked out?
It has. Oh, buddy, you have no idea. You have no idea, you idiot. You idiot.
Dork.
Alabama, Kentucky. The rare college game where you score 95 and lose by 22. I wrote a book. StuGodsBook.com.
Not yet, you haven't.
Well, I'm waiting on you.
Not yet, you haven't.
That's not how I wrote a book works. I'm waiting on you.
StuGodsBook.com. Oh, I'm waiting on Dana.
You can't say I wrote a book. You can't say it until you write a book.
Again, I'm waiting on you. Finish my book, please.
The answer to... You can't say after I wrote a book, I'm waiting on you so it can be written. Those two sentences can't go together.
Pre-order StuGodsBook.com. Just me, or is anyone else still recovering from Las Vegas? What happens in Vegas doesn't stay in Vegas. It stays in you for like a month.
Stays in your bloodstream.
You went to like five other places after Vegas.
I'll get to those. Jurgen Klopp winning a trophy in his final season. You know what the K in Klopp stands for, Dan?
I do not.
Not Krzyzewski. Thank you.
That would be weird if his Coach name K. was Krzyzewski Klopp. Like Lop.
Baylor. Houston, it might be February, but that felt like March. Did you see that one?
Houston's fun to watch.
So is Baylor. No fan base goes from wanting to fire their coach to booking their trip to the Final Four on a game-to-game basis, quite like Kentucky.
That's not true. No, who's firing?
Oh, God.
Who's firing Calipari?
They fire their coach every other day. I mean, are you paying attention to what's going on in the Bluegrass State?
Calipari was number one every year, and they want him to stay number one. No one wants him. Okay, very good.
That was yesterday. Today's today.
All right.
Wake Forest lives on the bubble. The Deeks. A tip of the cap to Lefty Drizel. Lefty. You are firmly entrenched in my top five sports figures who connote a direction. OLI, Phil Mickelson, Lefty. Number five, Easton Stick. Number four.
He needs his fanfare.
Lefty Drizel. Number three, Scott Downs. Number two, Andy North. And number one, the great Joe West, the cowboy. You don't go to Ames, Iowa, into Hilton Coliseum, and live to talk about it. The Cyclones. Oh, this is a tough one. Virgil van Dijk. Clutch. VVD. Did I say it right?
You nailed it.
Dan.
Yes.
You know what the B in Boulder stands for?
I do not.
It stands for buds. Beautiful, luscious buds. Jay Williams, leave the bad takes to me. Headline, Kyle Shanahan said he has no regrets with Super Bowl performance. Was he talking about his team or himself? Because he didn't know the rules. Jay Williams, if you want to steal some of my takes, the Kansas City Chiefs ones are all yours.
I mean, getting out there with Caitlin Clark's not great because she stole hasn't it from won me. A championship is an all-time doozy.
Mm-hmm. I didn't read the Shanahan article, by the way. Just saw the headline. That's why I'm asking. Someone get back to me. Dan, the C in Colorado stands for cannabis. Philadelphia fans, gave Kyle Lowry a standing ovation. Dan, you know what the P in Philadelphia fan stands for?
I do not.
Pathetic. The L in Kyle Lowry stands for L's. Steve Kerr, 2 years, $35 million. 29 and 27, pays a lot nowadays. You know what the S in Steve Kerr stands for?
I do not.
It stands for ski mask. Juwan Howard, hot seat. I'm tired of Kerr. Kerr is the most overrated coach in the history of sports. I'm saying he did not construct that team. He didn't draft any of them. I am tired of Steve Kerr and his two-year, $35 million contracts. For what? For what?
I mean, he won champion.
And that was Mark Jackson's team.
He stole Luke Walton's wins also.
Enough.
I do remember when he and Derek Fisher got identical five-year, $25 million contracts, and both of them were trying to choose between the Knicks and the Warriors. And now Steve Kerr has gone from 5 years, $25 million, to 2 years, $35 million.
Mm-hmm. Ski mask. The Miami Hurricanes have lost six straight games. I see why they call him Coach L. I'm proud of that one.
I'm stunned how bad they are this year. They're so bad at defense. Yeah. So bad.
Blue blood, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I took off in the Eastern time zone, landed in the Central time zone, drove 60 minutes to my hotel, where I was told I was back in the Eastern time zone. E.T., here's an idea. One time zone.
Yours, right? My time zone.
Whichever time I'm in.
I know. That is exactly how you want to live everything in your life. Let's do this the way that I want.
If you can avoid Denver Airport, I suggest you do. You know what the D in Denver Airport stands for? Don't go there. You know what the A stands for?
What's wrong with the Denver Airport?
Oh, it's terrible. Disaster.
Do not go down that YouTube rabbit hole, Dan.
Yeah.
If you want to bring out the ponder file, we can ponder it.
See, don't do it.
But the Denver airport, terrible. Miami's airport is worse.
No,
than
no, it's not.
There's all sorts of stuff. I promise. Just don't go on.
You gotta take a tram to a train to a bus to this to that. It's enough.
You know what's underneath there or no?
The biggest airport is Chicago, is it not? In terms of inconvenient size of an airport.
When you land at O'Hare International Airport, you're halfway there.
Dan, are they hiding UFOs under the O'Hare Airport? Do we know that?
And this is why I'm saying don't go on YouTube, Dan.
Wait, what?
You guys don't know about the Denver airport?
No, there's UFOs.
Oh my God!
Not YouTube in general. YouTube about the Denver airport.
What's going on?
Maybe on the Tony Show, I'll explain. Mm-hmm.
Get out of the rabbit hole.
You need a better name.
No, Tony Show's
80%. The Tony Show's a terrible
Tony
name.
Tony Show's great, dude. Okay. Part 2 coming soon.
Tony. What?
Yes.
You know what the A in Denver Airport stands for? Avoid at all costs.
The A in Airport?
DIA. The Starbucks Burger King rest stop on the way from Chicago to South Bend is like finding water in the desert.
The Newt Rockne rest stop.
Oh, it's the best.
Stugatz's travel log of like airplane observations and just coffee shops.
No offense to Indiana, but I was driving through your state, and the entire time I was thinking to myself, besides Larry Bird, of course, who the f*** would ever want to live in Indiana?
No offense to your state.
The Hoosier state. You know what the who and Hoosier stands for, Dan? Who the f*** would ever want to live in Indiana? The things you do when in the passenger seat and you are trying to kill time driving through the state of Indiana with two gummies in you. Top 5 athletes.
Wait a minute. You're driving with gummies?
No. I said the passenger seat.
You made your wife drive?
Yes.
What?
I had two gummies in me.
I don't believe
did
for
you
a
think,
moment that did, he was in the passenger seat.
Did you think
seat.
Maybe I don't have to take gummies right now?
I did not think that.
You shouldn't do
I was
that.
Trying to get through the state of Indiana.
I'd take the gummies.
Huh. The Newt. Top 5 athletes whose name could also be a real name for a type of street. Donald Drive.
I mean,
Houston Street. 34 Houston Street.
Houston Street's great.
Jerome Lane.
Found the page, did you?
Yeah, you know.
Charles Way. Margaret Court.
Donald Drive.
Yeah.
Watch out for the Leafs. Where was it?
You're at watch out.
You were
at Leafs.
Margaret Court. You were parked on Margaret Court and
Houston
telling
Street,
us to watch out.
Over to Houston
watch
Street.
Out. Watch
Jason
out
Street.
For the.
I say, yeah, Leafs. Damn, meet me over at 28 Charles Way. Anyway, scouting combine, free agency, draft. You could smell it in the air, Dan. My favorite season, lying season. Top five seasons. Number five, the second season. Number four, summer. Number three, a good four seasons. You love that, Jess.
Number two is Christmas.
We stayed at the two seasons.
Yeah. Number two is football season. Number one, lying season. Doc Rivers telling reporters in his return to Philadelphia that Joel Embiid should have gotten the ball more in their series last season against the Celtics. That's a good idea. Maybe the head coach should have made that happen. Also, Doc, the Stugatz is strong in you. 10 points, 7 rebounds, countless screens, a bunch of picks, some elbows, a few hard fouls. Al Horford did what Al Horford does. Dan, pitchers and catchers just reported. And Mets ace Kodai Senga is already dealing with arm fatigue and will start the season on the IL. Only the Mets. I'm telling you, hell will freeze over before the Mets win another World Series. Speaking of hell, Art Briles. Dan, those are the weekend observations.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Don Levitard.
We got Afrini Hardaway.
Afrini? Who was Afrini Hardaway?
I was trying to read fast. UD was on the team. Luke Jackson. Bobby Jones. The Matrix, Sean Marion.
Stugatz.
Zoe, Shaq, Smush Parker. Chris Quinn.
Wait a minute.
D Wade.
Wait a minute.
Jason Williams, Darrell Wright. I mean, stacked roster.
This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugatz. Start of the day, start of the day. It is the start of the day. Start of the day, start of the day. It is the start of the day. Start of the day, start of the day. It is the start of the day. Start of the day, start of the day. It is the start of the day.
Mike Conley has not gotten a technical foul in 17 years.
Well, come on.
What? That can't be true.
A T?
That can't be true.
Today's stat of the day is brought to you by Venmo and PayPal.
Wow.
17 years Mike Conley has been playing in the NBA.
You stumble into one.
He is now in Minnesota, and it was being celebrated the other day. Evidently, technical fouls were being handed out, and he like ran away from where they were being handed out and didn't get a technical foul. There are every day some sort of new Jokic stat makes an appearance that is asinine. He's got a triple-double against every team that he has faced. Only Westbrook and LeBron can say that. But also, in the last three games, and last night, as people are still talking about how the Warriors are going to get in it or they're going to figure it out, they ran into that dude last night, and they're not going to figure shit out against that dude.
Overrated coach, right?
He is the second player in NBA history to have at least 80 points, 50 rebounds, and 45 assists over a three-game span. The only other was Wilt in 1968. It's a modern-day Wilt.
What else can you say about Jokic? What else can you say about
him? I'm still more impressed by the Conley stat. Sorry.
17 years without a tech?
It is.
Yes. Niko Jovic got ejected. He's been in the league for like a year.
I know it. You are talking about, and the stunning part about Jokic is nobody knew. Nobody knew he was going to be that good. Nobody had it. Never mind that good. Nobody knew he was going to be excellent.
Not even the Nuggets. I mean,
I know.
They started Nurkic for like a couple years before they realized, oh, wait, this guy Jokic is actually pretty good. Let's ship Nurkic somewhere else.
I don't know if you guys saw this. Kirk Goldsberry has been doing for a long time some excellent basketball analysis. I'm off the top of your heads, just looking at you, what would you say you imagine are the best offenses that you have ever seen when you think the history of basketball and watching great offensive basketball, memorable offensive teams? I know in my time, when I think of nostalgic past, I think of Pat Riley's Showtime Lakers.
Lakers and Warriors is probably the first things I think of. Maybe the Celtics of the 80s. It wasn't the same as the Lakers, but they still scored a ton of points per game.
Well, the thing that's happened in the sport, and this part, I guess, is not going to be surprising to people because you see the scoring in the sport, but the most efficient offenses ever this year's Celtics, this year's Pacers, this year's Thunder, this year's Clippers, this year's Bucks. Bang, 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 crazy. Bang. The way that they have surgically scalped all the inefficiencies out of the game.
Ever?
Yes.
Like those five?
Yes.
Yeah.
Ever?
Yes.
Yeah. Huh. Good offensive year, Dan.
You need a clarification.
Good offensive year, yeah.
I understand. I understand why you're saying that because what do you mean? What do you mean?
Better than any team ever.
This year?
This year.
All of them, yeah.
This year.
That's right.
Five of them.
The Denver airport.
That's right.
Yes.
Don't look into that.
Contavious Caldwell-Pope has five techs this season.
KCP.
Stugatz, the fact that at 50
this
years
year.
Old, you still get such pleasure from doing that.
I love it.
Is
I shorten technical to tease.
You're an adult. You've raised children who are now adults. And the amount of delight that you get.
It's sad.
From just being able to blurt KPC. Can you guys tell me if you
KCP,
had...
KCP, by the way.
Oh, I'm sorry. KCP,
it's
my bad.
It's fine. It's okay.
Got to get the C in there.
Do you guys have any strong opinions? Seth Greenberg had very strong opinions about Kyle Filipowski, and Duke's always got, feels like they've always got a Filipowski, getting run over on the court. And he said he distributed shame on Wake Forest. It looked super dangerous. We've gotten a number of angles, including overhead. I won't say Filipowski was blameless, but I also think that he's a victim of just – that has to be scary, that amount of people running at you in a hostile environment.
I was actually concerned for him, and I'm concerned for players when other teams' fans storm the court. Like, it just seems like a dangerous situation, and it seems like those guys have trouble getting off the court and just getting to the locker room.
He's 7 feet tall.
I know.
You can see, come on. What are we doing?
Tony, there's 20,000 people rushing at you.
Sure.
He twisted his ankle because people were like running at him.
He flopped too.
It did.
Okay.
Flopkowski.
They all flopped.
His leg a little
they all
bit,
flopped.
Yeah.
I feel like the issue with the court storming situation is that none of the ways that they've tried to limit it or prevent it actually matter to students. Like, if I'm a student and my team wins a huge upset game,
yeah.
I don't care if they're about to get fined $100,000. And if you try to ban me from a game, like, I'm still going to probably try to find a way to get in. And knowing how the basketball calendar works, like, there's probably not going to be another home game this year that I want to go to or that matters to me. So, like, there's not really a great way to make students, like, care about it. And it sucks because it's like, I've been to games where there's been field storming, court storming. Like, that's one of the things that's fun about being a student at one of these schools. Like, you might get one of these chances when you're there for 4 years or whatever, however long you're in school. But like, they're not going to be able to convince students who are only on campuses for a couple years to not want to do this. Like, it's just hard. I don't really know how you fix it.
I know you stop it. Win the game you're supposed to win. Yeah, and they don't storm the court on you.
True. That is true.
Duke, you're so great. This is in your hands. They only storm the court because you lost the game. Win the game, they won't storm the court. Never seen them storm the court after a loss.
It's super dangerous for players. Like, Caitlin Clark earlier this year got drilled by a fan at the Ohio State game. It's very dangerous. There has to be be a way to make sure that the team gets off the court before the court storming and the officials get off the court, and then they allow it to happen. But by being like, we're not letting any of this happen, students don't care. They're just going to do it anyways.
They carried him off the court like DJ Khaled. Like, yeah. It wasn't that bad of an ankle twist. It looks like he stepped on a landmine.
It doesn't matter, though. Like, it doesn't matter how bad it is. It could have been really bad. And there have been really people bad that have gotten injured by, you know, fans tearing down the goalposts at football games or by court stormings.
And also, Martin Gramatica jumped in towards ACL on a celebration. Like, things happen.
Did Flipowski get hurt on the overhead angle I saw where the first person that came through, he looked like he was sort of tripping them as well? And again, I'm not going to second guess how it is that someone's behaving when there are that many people running in and around them in on the road in a panicked and hostile situation. But was the injury suffered? Because the overhead shot I saw, he initiated that contact, and I would understand why it is you're just being afraid because everything is coming toward you.
I don't know. I watched it several times and I can't tell you exactly like where his ankle got hurt, because there's several people that make contact with him before one of the staff members like grabs him and then they carry him off. So I don't know exactly what, you know, actually caused him to get hurt. But yeah, like you said, when there's like 100 people sprinting at you and they're all making contact with you, like, it's just a dangerous position to be in when you're a athlete in any sport.
Yeah. Reporters are saying that is indeed where he hurt his ankle, that collision. And it was a big collision. It really was.
We're watching the overhead angle. Yeah. He goes out for a little bit of an extension to like kind of clip somebody as they're walking
by.
He did for sure.
But again, I will tell you, he did do that.
He's walking forward also, so...
I've never in my life walked
It
like
takes
this.
A lot to for yeah, me to you, defend a Duke basketball player, by the way. I'm just saying, right. Like, I don't...
That's
like,
a blatant call for me. That's easy.
I know, but you guys, you've never had 20,000 people storming at you. Like, yeah. How do you know how you react?
I won those games.
I don't even... this specific case to me doesn't even matter, because this is something that happened to Caitlin Clark earlier this season, too. Like, this happens all the time, and it's always like, what are we going to do about this? And certain conferences are like, dirty. We're going to fine you, and then everyone's like, we don't care, we're going to do it anyways.
I just saw the foot, too. The foot yes, and the arm yes. going? Oh, yes, that's dirty.
That contact...
That's dirty.
No one says, I feel bad for that fan who got clipped in the shoulder and neck.
Because the fan's on the court where the fans don't belong. So, yeah.
No one's like,
oh, I feel bad for that person that willingly ran onto the court.
Well, he was a little pissy baby that he lost. So he was like, you know what? I have a free shot here. This guy's not looking. Let me blindside him. And then he ran into his ankle and he hurt himself. Like, it's both things. He was kind of being a sore loser and he was trying to take a cheap shot at someone and he hurt himself in the process.
He deserved it.
I didn't say that.
What did you call him, though? But what did you call him?
Flopkowski?
Pissy baby?
Pissy baby, maybe? Pissy I don't know. Yeah, possibly.
Kawhi Leonard has 5 career technical fouls.
Don Lebatard.
You are very comfortable talking about how you met your wife, how much you love her, how important she is to you, and that's the reason that I asked the question. I've always admired that about you, that you have no problems whatsoever professing your love.
Well, the thing is, I got a new wife now. You know, me and Bianca didn't make it. So I moved on. We moved on. It was for the better for both of us.
Stugatz.
Things just got a little awkward there. So let me be the first on this show to congratulate you on the new wife, Vince. Congratulations on feeling whole, feeling complete, you know? Let's talk tailgating. Yeah.
Don't feel awkward, buddy. You know,
Dan,
I appreciate you soothing me in this regard, but I already feel terribly awkward. And then my teammate comes to my defense with not a question, but just a healthy congratulations and the further pointing out of that awkwardness, because he's always good for me in those spots. I'm also thinking of divorce, Vince, after many, many years, 18 years with a partner who does things like that. To you.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz.
Moment you stick a hand out, you're asking for one. There's a guy that pushes him in the back,
too. This is crazy. I'm sorry. This is crazy.
Okay.
If it was an athlete you liked, you would be freaking out about it.
Oh, yeah. Duh.
I would say the same thing. I have the same take no matter what. You could put any athlete there. It does not matter. When you extend your arms.
Okay, let's put Bad Bunny there.
That's fine. Wow. The same thing. He extended. Like when he threw the phone, I didn't think that was right.
You think those are the greatest of biases that Tony has in defense and zealous defense of Bad Bunny?
I really do think that I mean, I'm not shocked a lot on this show, but I am surprised that where this conversation went. Pissy Baby was not where I expected it, Dan.
You shouldn't injure a player who's just trying to leave the court. I will make a correction. I didn't make it to Stugatz the first time, but when he doubled down and said it a second time, it wasn't 20,000 people who were storming the court.
Sounds better, Dan.
I know, it sounds better. And there were plenty there. You don't have to exaggerate it. It looked like a herd of thundering bison. It was plenty. It just wasn't 20,000.
Also, while we're on the topic, I'm glad the court storming is getting a lot of attention, although maybe it would have been better if it wasn't attention from this group, because I don't know how we're going to fix any problems if Tony's going to be like, well, you know what happens. But we do need to pay attention to how crappy the lighting is in Wake Forest Arena, because it is so hard to watch games on TV at Wake Forest. It is the worst lighting of any basketball court in the history of basketball.
I have said before that
the
footage that comes out of Jacksonville seems to be a little grainier than any other sports footage. I don't know if they have digital or cable communication issues that are a little antiquated, but Wake Forest also has been so crappy at some sports for a long time that I expect the lighting to be poor on any news that's coming out of Wake Forest. Speaking about things that are darker than you expect them to be, A-Rod was in the news this weekend.
There was 14,000 people at that game. Sorry.
A-Rod is trending because he felt the need. When he came in here for that South Beach session, I would urge you to listen to it. I have not heard A-Rod that kind of self-aware, introspective. He has done some living and he has done some learning, and he was willing to talk about things more openly than I've ever talked with him about things. But when he came in here, he was super dark, but not as dark as he was this weekend when people were accusing him of the reverse Sammy Sosa, because they just couldn't believe how tan he was. And he says he fell asleep on vacation. And I see it around his sunglasses a little bit, where the indentation. Tony, what accusation?
From the tanning booth.
Yeah.
Whoa.
From vacation. Wow.
Vacation.
Come on. Wow.
Come on. What are you doing there?
You think he
really
got...
Really? Come on. Look at that guy.
Whoa.
Alex Rodriguez.
That guy?
Who played in the sun for 20 years.
He's Dominican, he told us.
With a hat.
Okay. Yeah. With a hat. That's going to protect. Okay.
You're saying he got burned in a... He fell asleep in a tanning bed is what you're saying.
I don't think he fell asleep. I think he thought it looked good, and now he's looking for excuses.
Because he got burned extra crispy.
He does look good. Does he not?
He always looks good.
He's incapable of looking anything but good. But he looks several shades darker than any of us have ever seen him look.
It looks like he's on stage for Mr. Olympia, you know, like all the bodybuilders, or they have that like brown coloring to like show their muscles.
He's about to flex.
It's like he just got painted out of the camera. Give me what they get. I'm just not going to work out for, but just give me what they get, and then that way we can look good.
You're not believing. You're saying it's flatly a lie, Jeremy, that he fell asleep in the sun on vacation.
I mean, I don't know Alex Rodriguez to be a liar, but...
Stugatz, speaking of things that were...
I thought you were going to say, speaking of liars.
But yeah. What are we doing?
Speaking of things that were trending over this weekend, NVIDIA, the company, had a bigger gain on Wall Street than has ever been had on a single day. It was $273 billion in a day. It would make it, I would imagine, a top 10 richest nation at that number. And the market cap is now $2 trillion for NVIDIA. It's an artificial intelligence company.
AI.
It is ahead of all other artificial intelligence companies. I don't know if you've seen what happened with Tyler Perry. Tyler Perry said he has stopped stopped working on expansions of his studios because he has seen what AI can do. He no longer has to go to the Denver airport or Colorado for snow. He can just recreate it. And Fran Drescher did a typical Stugatz thing, which is say, why don't you pioneer hiring human beings? How about that? Why don't you pioneer instead of pioneering?
How about that at the end of the grade? How about that?
The nanny.
And I'm curious what you thought of the numbers being thrown around. I am terrified of all things AI related. Clearly, it has various nefarious uses, and we have found in today's globe that we will exploit human beings in the name of profit at every turn. And what comes this way with AI seems super dangerous to me for a variety of different reasons. But NVIDIA's sort of out in front of Tesla and anything else on developing what it is that the future will look like.
Here's what's bothering me about NVIDIA. I can't stand when a stock does this and everyone says, I told you so. I hate that person. I've owned the stock since this day. I've owned the stock since it was at $100. I've owned the stock. I've been telling you to buy this stock. And Jim Cramer, I'm talking to you. I watch your show all the time. You've never told me to buy that stock. And people walking around today and the last couple of days, and Tony, I know you felt this, telling me when they purchased NVIDIA, what price they got it at, shut up. You don't own it. You've never owned it. And stop telling me how much money you made off NVIDIA stock. You didn't make a cent. The N in NVIDIA stands for never owned it. You didn't own it. It's like the 86 World Series, Dan, Game 6. A billion people will tell you they were at the game, but only 42,000 were at the actual game. And right now with NVIDIA, what people are doing is there's a billion people out there saying, I own the stock at X. I own the stock at Y. They're lying. 42,000 people may have owned the stock, but not a billion people who keep coming up to me and telling me, hey, I got in at $15. No, you didn't.
Who are these people? What are you doing? How often jackasses. Are you having this conversation?
They're coming up to me. I'm not asking
they
for it.
Just walk up to you while
talking
you're
stocks.
Having a
dog no, he's
walk?
Right. Talking
yeah.
stocks.
Thank you. Yeah.
Is this what you talk about at Northwestern lacrosse games? Because that's all you've
portfolios
been up to.
I'm not naming names. I'm not saying where I heard it. I'm just saying people keep, you know, coming up to me.
Northwestern parents actually would be the demographic I'd assume would be coming
they
up
would
to
own
you talk about. Stocks.
They actually can't afford it, right? They give you the person's got, oh yeah, I've got stock in this. You got one share, buddy. You're lucky to have that. Give me a break.
So, stock talk from Tony.
Everyone's a liar about everything.
Oh, you think everyone owns NVIDIA? Get out of here.
I don't think everyone owns NVIDIA, but I also think that you're wrong when you do the absolute of no one owns NVIDIA.
Well, I mean, you know who does know NVIDIA? Nancy Pelosi. Look into that.
I'm talking more about the stock guy, Dan. Don't you hate that guy? When a stock soars and you have people saying, hey, I got in at 4, shut up.
Tony, go sit in the penalty box. Just go sit alone.
We're just okay with insider trading now.
Just
okay.
Pass the line.
Go sit in the penalty box for your just general shame.
I thought the video was like a weight loss
journey. I don't know what it is.
And who's it does keeping, sound like a pharmaceutical.
Yeah.
Who's keeping track of Jim Cramer, by the way? Is anyone doing that?
What do you mean?
We keep track of all the sports takes. Who is keeping track of the financial takes? I am telling you, I watched that show, and he never told me to invest in NVIDIA.
A lot of people,
I think a lot of people
are holding Jim Cramer accountable
where?
For getting a lot of things wrong as the pioneering revolutionary on television who basically just does business talk with a little smidgen of entertainment, and
right.
therefore he's slightly different than all of the other starch suits talking business. Jim Cramer has made a giant career for himself out of just being a little bit louder and more jazz hands about giving you business information.
I know, but it's easy to say, hey, I told you 10 years ago to get in on NVIDIA after NVIDIA has the run that it's had. I don't remember him saying it. I don't recall him saying
you're
it.
You're probably not watching all the things Jim Cramer says all the time. Just
granted, I haven't watched every
you
episode.
Occasionally
well, that's
watch
how you get
Jim
away with
Cramer.
It, though, Dan. That's how you say, I told you about it, because no one's watching all the episodes. Get out of here.
This is an insane conversation.
It is. It
why?
Is.
I don't like that person.
Just accusing everyone of lying at every turn.
No, the I got in on the stock early person is an annoying person.
Dan,
that's
all
I'm saying.
They stopped coming up to Stugatz telling
right,
him.
Everyone.
These imaginary people at Northwestern games will not stop claiming
it
that they got
it
in
was,
on NVIDIA
it was,
first.
It was at Notre Dame.
Well, that tracks too.
I noticed something the other day that I had not seen before. You tell me how uncommon you guys think it is. I've seen when sort of watching, looking for movies to watch that on iTunes, the way that some of those movies are luring me in are for the first time, I am seeing the studio prominently placed on the cover of what that movie is. A24 is now something, Stugatz, and I've noticed this as the quality of entertainment has gone down because so many people are making so many different things. You need to know that in some places you can get something that you know is good. Mm-hmm. And A24 consistently makes good shit at a time when a lot of people are just making a lot of stuff and not good stuff, just a lot of it. So the first time I'm seeing this, I don't know if it's new to you guys, where a studio is putting its name on the front of stuff because when you're scanning through stuff, Stugatz, you want some help. More than word of mouth on what's good. More than Rotten Tomatoes. What's good? Give me some help. And this is the first time. I've seen Hulu's offerings have gotten better post-strike. It's going to take some people some time to catch up because of everything that happened during the strike to make the good stuff again.
But you're saying you're right because it's confusing trying to find good content out there. There's so much of
what
it.
What do you mean by they're putting their name on the front of it?
When I'm flipping through iTunes and I'm just looking at movies and how they present on first buy, when you're doing the window shopping on stuff, I'm seeing that these movies now have that some of the A24 stuff that I might not choose otherwise, I'm clicking on it because it says A24.
And so if it says A24, they have a good enough reputation where there's a pretty decent chance it's going to be good?
I'm saying something that I don't know whether it's accurate or not. Maybe other studios have done this. It's the first time I've noticed that A24 is doing it and that movies are allowing it to be done. Usually it's your signature stars or however it is that you want to sell a movie because you're getting one chance at catching someone's eye.
And they kind of categorize it differently. Like I know on Max, they'll have like A24 or if you like this, watch these kind of movies from this character or whatever. So like I see that all the time, and A24 is the only one that I know that has like a production house or a studio that has the movies in that category.
The bigger question here, Dan, is you're using iTunes for movies? Movies are free, like everywhere, on all these apps. And you're buying them
on your iPod?
On iTunes?
Yeah.
Not all of them.
The video iPod.
You got Apple stock?
Not everything.
The video.
Not everything that is in theaters is available everywhere.
But it will be, eventually.
I got a site for you.
I was going to say, Tony knows a thing.
Tony knows a guy.
Come on, talk to me offline.